Amen, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you who are joining us online, we are so, so glad that you are joining us online. Those of you who are here in the house, welcome here in the house. Thank you so much for wearing your masks and social distancing. We want this to be a very safe place where people can come and meet with God and worship God and really hear, hopefully, prayerfully, a word from God. And by the way, would you just join me in thanking our worship team? What an incredible time of worship this morning. Amen. Hey, listen, we are in the middle of a series on identity. And the thing about identity is this, that I want you to get. I want you to just let this thought sink in for just a moment, okay? When we talk about identity, it's not so much talking about what it is that you and I should be doing. It really is more talking about who we are in Christ. And until we really begin to understand our identity in the grace of God, not in the works that we do, I'm telling you, this series on identity is not going to have much of an impact on you, and it won't have much of an impact on me. We talk a lot about 5 G's, right? A disciple is marked by. It's not so much a disciple does these 5 G's as it is a disciple is marked by. That is, we are a new creation in Christ, and when we become a follower of Jesus, our life is marked by. As a new creation, here is just how our life flows, because this is who we are. We can't help it. We're a new creation, and our life is marked by grace, and that is we are saved by grace through faith, but not just saved by grace through faith. We also find our identity in grace and not in works. And unless you get that first G down, I'm telling you, all of the rest of the G's will always sound like a long to-do list. And you and I will never feel like we really get the to-do list done, and we'll never really feel like God is very pleased with us. Brian introduced a graphic last week that helps to illustrate this point. And it's a human paradigm versus a Jesus paradigm. And I want you to just think about this for a moment. You either wake up in the morning and you begin your day, whether consciously or subconsciously, and you say, okay, God, how am I doing? And really what you're saying is you see yourself down here on the bottom part of this graph and here are all these stairs and you just have it in your mind, today, God, I'm going to have to read my Bible and pray, and I probably need to witness to someone. I've certainly got to give my tithe, and that one's true. But anyway, and before you're going to love me or accept me, and God, I got to be really nice today, and I've got all these steps to climb so that I can be with you today and so that you can be with me and so that you will be pleased with me. Now, here's the problem with relating to God by works like that instead of grace. You and I'll never feel like we actually arrive. And at some point, what we do is we begin to turn that around on God, and we start saying to God things like, God, haven't I done enough to please you? And then something bad comes into our life, and we begin to get really angry at God. And we go, God, after all I've done for you, you dare allow this to come into my life? You allow this divorce to hit me upside the head? You allow my child to get sick? You allow me to get laid off? And God, after all I've done for you, God, I don't even think following you is worth it. See, when we relate to God by works, it never leads to a good place. But on the other hand, look at the top of the graph where the individual is already with Jesus Christ. See, you can begin your day relating to God through grace. You can begin your day going, God, how in the world could you be so good to me? God, you've pulled off loving me unconditionally. Nobody loves me unconditionally. Lord, I don't love anyone unconditionally. I'd like to think I do, but I can't pull that off. But Lord, you've loved me, and you've loved me unconditionally. There's now no condemnation for me because I am in you. I am forgiven. I am your child. There's nothing I can do to make you love me more, nothing I can do to make you love me less. And if we relate to God by grace, then we begin to say things like, God, I am so grateful for your love. Lord, I want to love you back. And God, I want to love others in your name because I want them to experience this same unconditional love that I've experienced. So let me ask you a question. How do you start your day? You start it, subconsciously saying, how am I doing? I know I got a long way to go. And the problem is I'm really busy today. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read my Bible and pray. Or do you start your day off going, God, how could you be so good to me? And God, actually, the only thing that I have to really, really do today is to accomplish what you told me to do, and that is the great commandment to love you today well and to love others. And God, I want to make an effort to do that today, not to earn your love, but because you've already demonstrated your love for me. Now, if you begin to get that, if you begin to understand grace, then all of a sudden when we start talking about identity, you don't see it as another to-do list. See, I'm going to talk today about how we're not just sons and daughters, but you are a priest. I am a priest. And if we hear this sermon through the eyes of work and the ears of work, we're going to be going, oh my goodness, Gary's just adding to my to-do list. I'll never be able to please God. I'm sorry I even came to church today. But if you hear it through the eyes and the ears of grace, and you're saying, God, you've been so good to me, and I'm a new creation, and you've made me into a priest. That's who I am. I can deny it, but the truth is, it's a reality. If I'm in you, I'm a priest. Then you're going to be going, God, would you show me how to live as a priest? And would you show me how to do the things that a priest does? It's a totally different approach to God. So I encourage you today to embrace your identity through grace, so that you can embrace the rest of who you are in Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us in his letter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a huge, significant part of who you and I are in Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read together 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It is a very, very short portion of Scripture, but I want you to read this portion of Scripture out loud with me, because I want you to be saying this from your own lips, from your own heart, with your own mind, what is true, what God has declared to be true about us. Will you read this with me? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. God bless you. Will you go ahead and grab a seat? Did you notice how it says? Look right there. You are. Do you see that? You are. Now, I want to ask a question, okay? How many of you came in here this morning thinking, I'm a priest? Probably not a ton of you, okay? I came in here, I'm a pastor, and I didn't even necessarily come in here thinking I'm a priest, and I'm preaching on the very subject. Now, I tend to come in here thinking, whoo, I'm fallen, check, flawed, check. But how many of you just stop and think about, wait a minute, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ, and I am a priest. I mean, that's exactly what Peter says of us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? So let's just kind of break this down. I'm just going to preach today on those two words, royal priesthood, royal priesthood. So you're not going to have to open your Bible and turn to a lot of different pages. We're just going to try to drill down on what it means that you and I are royal priests. First of all, let's ask the question, who is a priest, okay? Let me give you the answer in advance, just in case you sit there and go, so who's a priest now? If you're in Christ, you're a priest. So if you're in Christ, I just want you to say this with me. I want you to declare this with me. I want you to just say with me, I am a priest, okay? So ready? All right, if you're in Christ, I want you to say this. If you're not in Christ, you've never confessed Jesus as the Lord of your life, don't say this, because you'll be lying in God's house, and you know and I know the roof will cave in if you lie in God's house. Amen? So I am a priest. Say it with me. You ready? I am a priest. See, that fact is actually a fact. That fact is actually non-negotiable. That is a reality of who we are. But let me make a case so that you don't let the point go in one ear and out the other. Here's the reality. When Peter wrote this letter, he was not writing this letter to a bunch of seminary graduates. He wasn't even writing it to a bunch of Bible college students who had made a vow to never listen to anything but Christian music. and never kiss anyone of the opposite sex until they'd already said, I do, at the altar. He was not writing to Bible college students. He wasn't writing to somebody in a long robe and a white collar and who goes around saying, bless you, my child. No, the reality is he was writing this. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He wrote to those, look at this, Peter, an apostle. No, put that up on the screen if you would for me. Right there, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. To those who are elect. To those who are elect. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jewish believers who had been dispersed out of Jerusalem because of persecution. But the key is, he's not just writing to Jewish believers, he's writing to all who are elect, all who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He is writing to Christ's followers. He is writing to you and me. He is writing to believers who drive a truck for a living. He is writing to moms and dads who do carpool. He is writing to people who do Orange Theory and Pilates. He is writing to those who strive to follow Jesus and yet every single day fall short. He's writing to those who understand the great commandment that God gives us is to love him and love others. He is writing to people who genuinely desire to make disciples, but deep, deep down don't even know what a disciple is, much less how to make one, right? The reality is, he's writing to you and me. Don't say it out loud, but would you just repeat that right now? Would you just say, Peter is writing to me. See, if you're in Christ, you are a priest. Can we say amen to that? He's writing to those who are elect. Now, the reality is you don't earn the title of priest by being really, really nice to a bunch of people or by setting attendance records in church services or even by teaching a life group. You don't even earn the title of priest by leading someone to place their faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a, say it with me, what? New creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You have been made a royal priest. You didn't earn the title, it's who you are. So in this message, please don't hear a to-do list. As I talk about who a priest is and what a priest does, don't hear it as a to-do list. Hear it as an identity. That's who you are. In the deepest recesses of your being, you are a priest. And you long to do the things that priests do. You long to live as a priest lives. That's just who you are. You can deny it, you can fight against it, you can push against it, but the reality is that is your identity. The new you is a royal priest. So let's fast forward. Who's a priest? Every Christ follower. What does a priest do? What does a priest do? Now, when we think of a priest and what they do, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word priest, I think of a Roman Catholic priest. Robe, collar, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. But you've got to understand, and this is the first century, and Peter is writing, Catholic priests haven't even come onto the scene. And so his hearers don't think of a Catholic priest, they think of a Jewish priest. Now, Jewish priests in the first century were rock stars. Why? Because Jewish priests had a unique access to God that the average person did not. Actually, Jewish boys grew up dreaming of being a Jewish priest. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, yeah, that's kind of like saying that boys today grow up dreaming of being a Baptist pastor. Right. We know today kids grow up like dreaming of being an actor or an athlete, and they want to be LeBron or they want to be Dak, right? But I'm telling you, in the first century, it wasn't that way. Jewish boys grew up dreaming of being a priest. Why? Because priests, what do they do? I'm telling you what they did. They accessed the presence of God. They entered into the presence of God, and that was unique, and that was something that the average person did not get to do, and so they were the rock stars. And I'm telling you, a royal priest, the royal priest was the top of the food chain, because the royal priest didn't just get to go into the temple. The royal priest actually got to go into, the high priest got to go into the Holy of Holies. Man, that's the very top of the food chain. And so to hear royal priest, the hearers in the first century would be going, seriously? Are you kidding me, Peter? I'm a royal priest. I'm a person who gets to enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies was a big deal. I mean, the Holy of Holies is where God was said to dwell. And the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Traditionally, the Ark of the Covenant contained the golden jar of manna from the wilderness wanderings, Aaron's staff that budded, and the Ten Commandments. I mean, the actual stone tablets that God wrote on. Now, by the time the first century rolled around, most scholars believe those elements were no longer present. They had been stolen and lost from the Ark of the Covenant, but still, that's what the Ark represented. And so to enter into the Holy of Holies, beyond the veil, beyond the curtain, to enter in where the Ark of the Covenant was, that was a huge deal. And on top of that, on the Ark of the Covenant, the lid was called the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was where God would meet with the high priest once a year. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. Look at these next words. You see what it says? There I will meet you. The high priest would actually meet with the living God. What does a priest do? I'll tell you what a priest does. A priest accesses God in a way that the average person cannot. The priest accesses God in the way that someone who is not a Christ follower, they cannot. That says, there, I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, I will, what does it say? Say it with me. I'll speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. Who wouldn't want to be a royal priest? Who wouldn't want to be the high priest? Who wouldn't want to go into the presence of God and commune with God and talk with God once a year? In the temple layout, by the way, also demonstrates in a very visual way how a priest, what is it unique about a priest? What does a priest do? If we're priests, we ought to know what a priest does. Well, a priest accesses the presence of God. The layout of the temple itself reinforces that. There's a picture of the temple, and I never could find one that has all the fancy lines to show you everything. And so just trust me when I tell you this. Outside of this area is the court of the Gentiles, and that's where Gentiles and non-Jews were allowed to worship. And then just inside of that is the court of the women, and that's where Jewish women were allowed to worship. But that's as close as they were allowed to go. You see the big tall part? That inside that is the Holy of Holies. And then inside of that is the court of the men, the court of Israel. That's where Jewish men were allowed to go and worship. And then you see kind of beyond the gate, right in front of the door to the Holy of Holies, and that's the court of the priests. And that's where the priests would offer up the sacrifices. And so you see the priests were allowed to go even closer to the Holy of Holies. But inside is where the high priest would go once a year. See, the temple itself is laid out in such a way that it indicates what a priest does. A priest accesses the presence of the living God. Now let that sink in for a moment. Peter said, you are a royal priest. I am a royal priest. In Christ, we are royal priests. We access God in ways that others who are not Christ followers don't. It says in the book of Hebrews, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places. Do you know what he's saying here? Paul is saying that as Christ followers, we get to enter into the Holy of Holies. The veil of the temple has been torn. We get to enter into and access the very presence of the living God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus,
by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, look at this. You are a priest. I'm not telling you now what you do. I'm telling you who you are. I'm telling you what is the deepest longing of your heart, whether you recognize it or not. Priests do what? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have the privilege, and as a priest, we have the yearning within us to enter into the Holy of Holies, to move past the court of the Gentiles, to move past the court of the women, to move past the court of Israel, the court of men, to move past even the court of priests into the very Holy of Holies. The presence of God. That's why when you are worshiping God and you sense the presence of God, your heart is strangely warmed and your heart, your spirit is strangely encouraged. And that's why when you hear God speaking to you through a sermon, sometimes you even get tingles up and down your spine. Sometimes you just are going, wow, that is so profound. Why? Because you are living out of your identity. You are entering into the presence of God and you are worshiping God and you're hearing a word from God, and God's spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. And you're living out of your identity of who you are. You are living out of the deepest longing of your soul. I'm not telling you about what you should do. I'm telling you about who you are. In Christ is a new creation. We enter into the presence of God. And did you notice how I said, let us draw near with confidence? When we draw near to God, we draw near as people who are forgiven. We draw near as people who are children of God, sons and daughters of God. We draw near knowing that our sins have been forgiven, knowing that we have been adopted into the family of God, knowing that we shall never be rejected. And I'm telling you, even a high priest didn't have that confidence in the first century. They would wear bells on their robe. You want to know why? Because if the people outside the veil ever heard the bells stop ringing, they knew that God had struck the high priest dead, because the high priest went in without his sins being fully confessed. And they would literally tie a rope around the high priest's ankle, and then they would drag the high priest out of the Holy of Holies. I'm telling you, if I were a high priest, I'd be going, Lord, if it wasn't for the honor of this thing, I think I'd just as soon miss it. I don't really want to die today. And yet, that's not how we enter in. We enter into the presence of God with confidence. Draw near in full assurance. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. As royal priests, we access God. And as royal priests, we have a ministry from God. You go, okay, Gary, you're getting to the to-do list now, aren't you? No. I'm telling you who you are, your priest. And I'm telling you, the deepest longing of your soul is to access the presence of God. And the deepest longing of your soul is to do the things that a priest does. So I want to tell you the things that a priest does so that you can live out of your identity. See, here's what a priest does. A priest, notice the text. It says, you are. Put the text back up for me 1 second, if you will, please. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. As a priest, here's what you and I do, the ministry that we have from God. A priest would offer up sacrifices. How many of y'all think that the priest, when the priest offered up sacrifices, they were only offering up sacrifices for themselves and their sins? And they were saying to the people, good luck. Or how many of you think that the priest offered up sacrifices for the people? They did it for the people. You see, a priest
would stand in the gap between humans and God.
What does a priest do?
I'm not telling you something you need to do in order to earn God's approval. I'm telling you who you are. And I'm telling you, when you do this, you sense the presence of God and you sense the pleasure of God in your life because you're living out of your identity. When you stand in the gap between God and someone else, your soul rejoices and your soul is filled with joy. Why? Because you're living out of who you are.
You're a priest. What does a priest do?
Stand in the gap. Growing up, my dad was the disciplinarian in my family. And he believed in discipline. But he'd always warn us. He'd count. One, two. And when he got to three, we knew that all discipline was about to break out, right? And it was Katie bar the door. Somebody was going to get spanked. He would apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. But my mom understood her priestly responsibility. She stood in the gap. And she would tell my dad, well, shut up, right? But I'm not supposed to say that. So she would tell my dad, Gerald Singleton, I got this. And she would stand in the gap. And when we'd done something that we knew was wrong, we would run to my mom and we would tell my mom and we'd explain the situation. It's an honest mistake, Mom. Who knew that hay would actually catch on fire in the barn? It's not our fault, but it's a good learning lesson, Mom. And so, you know, and Mom would stand in the gap and, oh, Gerald, it's just hay. And we can rebuild the barn. See, my mom understood priestly responsibilities. Do you realize that's who you are? It's not something you just have to do. It's who you are. As a royal priest, we have a ministry from God, and our ministry is to love God, and our ministry is to love others. Our ministry is to make disciples. We stand in the gap for people by sharing the gospel with them. We stand in the gap for people by baptizing them and connecting them to the gathering of believers. We stand in the gap for people by teaching them how to obey all that God has commanded them to do. That's who we are. And so when we live out of our identity, we find joy and hope and peace. So let me ask you a question. How are you doing at living out of your identity as a priest? Would you say as a priest that you are routinely accessing the Holy of Holies? And I'm not asking that to cause guilt. I'm asking that to illuminate. Maybe if you are lacking joy and hope and peace and confidence in your life right now, it may be because you're denying your identity and you're not living out of your identity because your identity is a priest. A priest accesses the Holy of Holies. I mean, let me be ridiculous for a moment. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. He got to do this once a year. He would offer up a sacrifice and pour the blood of the sacrifice on the lid, the mercy seat, and to atone for the sins of the people that they had committed unknowingly. Now, I'm telling you, hundreds of thousands, some scholars suggest, actually many scholars suggest, that actually millions of people would make their, can you believe that? Millions of believers would make their way to Jerusalem on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And so millions of believers are there because they want to be there when the high priest offers up a sacrifice for their sins. They want that sacrifice applied to their sins. So of course they're going to travel to Jerusalem. Can you imagine on the morning of the Day of Atonement, the high priest wakes up. I'm tired. I don't feel like going to work today. I'm going to go fishing. Besides, hadn't really felt all that close to God lately. I've asked him for a lot of things. He hadn't done any of them. Yeah, I'm going to call in sick. Can you imagine the high priest on the Day of Atonement doing that? No, why? Because high priests enter into the Holy of Holies. That's just what high priests do. It is unimaginable. So how about you? Do you regularly enter into the Holy of Holies? Or have you become distracted? Or have you become discouraged? Would you describe your passion for the presence of God as half-hearted or heartfelt? Let me ask you a second time. How are you doing at living out of your identity as a priest? Are you routinely accessing the presence of God? And are you engaging in the ministry that God has given you? Remember, priests stand in the gap. Let me ask you, who are you praying for? Who are you sharing with? Who are you teaching how to obey all that God has commanded them to do? Who are you loving as Christ loves you? How are you doing it standing in the gap? I'll tell you, I routinely stand in the gap for my two granddaughters, and I enter into the Holy of Holies and I ask God, will you plant eternity in my granddaughters' hearts? I stand in the gap for the guys that I'm discipling, and I'm asking God to raise them up and give them a vision for making disciples. And I'm telling you, I stand in the gap for you, church. I'm standing in the gap for you this week, praying that God will give you a vision of who you are, so that this week you live out of your identity as a priest who enters into the presence of God and who does the work of God, standing in the gap between God and the others that he brings into your life. Dads, let me ask you a question. Are you entering into the Holy of Holies, standing in the gap for your marriage, for your family, for your children? Are you routinely asking God to save your children? Are you asking God to protect them from the lies and the schemes of Satan who works to devour them? Are you praying that they'll catch a vision for something greater than being an all-star in their sports league, and that instead they will catch a vision for being disciple makers and priests of the living God who are called to stand in the gap for others? Dads, are you standing in the gap as the priests in your family? Moms, you're a priest. Are you standing in the gap for your family? I want to invite you to do one of two things. Number one, if you have never become a follower of Christ, I'm going to ask you this morning to let Jesus make you a priest. How does that happen? It happens when you recognize that there is a kingdom. We pray, thy kingdom come. God created this world, and Jesus is the king of this world, and Jesus is going to return, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus invites us to become a citizen of his kingdom. He invites us to repent of our sins and believe in him and follow him as our Lord. And I invite you to do that. The Next Step room is open at the end of the service. I'm going to be right back there, and I invite you to come and let us tell you how you can become a Christ follower and receive a new identity as priest today. Second, I'm going to invite you this morning to be a priest to someone this week. Live out your identity this week. Pray for someone, love someone, share with someone. Connect someone to the gathering of believers. Teach someone how to obey what God has commanded them to do. Live out of your identity today. I'm going to lead a prayer, and then Richard's going to come and dismiss us. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for giving us a new identity. May we embrace our identity. We are royal priests. Lord, this week, let us live as a priest, accessing your presence. Lord, this week, let us do what a priest does, standing in the gap between you and others. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.